Okay, welcome everyone. We're going to talk a little bit about meditation practice first of all, and then get into the real deal soon enough. I always kind of like to come back to the basic ideas of meditation because they are the ones that really matter. You get the basic principles right, and then meditation tends to sort of unfold pretty much by itself. I think there's a little bit of feedback in the loudspeaker, is that right? I think it might be turned down the volume fraction. And so one of the kind of difficulties with meditation that I have noticed in my own meditation and many people talk about is that it can be difficult to both relax and be fully aware at the same time. It is very common for people to use their willpower and to force the awareness that you are aware. And the moment you force the awareness, you're not really relaxing. On the other hand, if you really relax, then very often you just relax, and then either the mind just thinks, go on thinking about all kind of things, or you could fall into tiredness and lethargy and that sort of thing. So there's a kind of common problem for people. It's either one or the other. Either you're aware with effort, you're not really relaxed, or you are relaxed, but you lose your awareness and you fall into thinking and these kind of things. And I think a lot of people struggle with this, and I often went way too far using willpower in my own in the early days as a monastic as well. And it just becomes very unpleasant if you do that, and you lose your interest in meditation. So if you're going to make a mistake, it is better to make the mistake of not being aware, rather than it's better to be relaxed and not aware, rather than being aware but not relaxed. It's much more painful. If you do fall asleep a bit in your meditation, or you do think a lot, at least as long as you are relaxed, you won't get put off by meditation. But how can we reach that ideal of both being aware and relaxed at the same time? And the simple trick really is just to enjoy the meditation. That's really all there's to it. And if you enjoy the meditation, that joy, that happiness tends to come with relaxation anyway. If you are relaxed, you tend to enjoy what you're doing. And also that enjoyment means that you tend to be aware because you want to be here if you enjoy what is happening. So it's really as simple as that. So just learning to enjoy what is happening. And that enjoyment starts off by just appreciating the peace, appreciating the good company, appreciating all the good qualities that are here, appreciating being a Buddhist, having the Buddha as your teacher, the Dhamma as your guidance in life, all of these kind of things. So that is the kind of the enjoyment part that you build up. And a very important part, an aspect of that enjoyment, are the things that I talked about last night, and that's the idea of having a sense of metta and compassion for your fellows on the spiritual path. It has a double advantage. First of all, it tends to give rise to a good feeling inside, within. You have a good warm feeling towards the people in the community. And also, when you are meditating in a group, you don't allow yourself to get irritated by other people because you see the broader picture. You see the goodness that is there. And then you don't really get upset by anything that is happening here. So that sense of appreciation is so important. And I think really, as I was saying yesterday, this one line from the suttas that really summarizes the idea of appreciation of your fellow spiritual practitioners is the idea of, wow, how fortunate I am to have fellows in the spiritual life such as these. Wow, I'm so fortunate. Coming to the Buddha Society, I'm so fortunate having all these fellow monks in my life, all of these fellow lay people who practice in the spiritual path together. And that idea is really the idea of metta in practice, because then you have a sense of very high degree of friendliness, appreciation, and even love for those people that are around you and are there. So try to build some of these ideas into your practice. And as you do that, then I think with that joy, with that appreciation in your practice, I'm sure that the awareness will arise, the relaxation will arise, and most importantly, the two will start to come together. You will relax and be aware at the same time. And that is really the kind of the highway to success in meditation practice. All right, so let's try it out and see what happens. Okay, so as always, please start the meditation just by relaxing, by being at ease, by finding the comfortable body, and just kind of settling in. Before you do anything with the mind, before you start to guide the mind in the right way, before you go to any meditation object of any kind, always take a lot of time at the beginning just to relax, to find that ease, to turn the mind inward, away from the world. And just allow yourself to gradually settle down, allowing the world to sort of fade away. And as the world fades away, you also start to more appreciate the presence right here. The idea of being in a good place with like-minded people, having this time for yourself, when you just close your eyes and seek the inward refuge instead. And just allow that dual perception, giving up the world and coming into the spiritual presence. These two things, develop them together. And as you start to settle down properly, keep on monitoring your mind to know what you need to kind of look for or look to as you go along. And as you monitor the mind, you start to realize that you can do little nudges of the mind. No willpower, just using your perception in skillful ways. And very often there may not be enough energy in the mind, perhaps a bit dull, too much thinking, whatever there might be. And then try to use the positive perception to guide the mind in the right way. Something delightful that makes it beautiful to be present and aware, not allowing the mindfulness to become dull. Enjoy the company. Get that feeling for the fact that you are in a good place, with good people trying their best to live in a good way. And what a wonderful thing that is, to be in such company. What a difficult thing it is to be part of such an organization that provides such things. Really enjoy that. Get off on such beautiful perceptions. And then as your mind rests in that positive perception, whatever it might be, there comes a point when the breath sort of just comes to you, because you're enjoying what you're doing, the awareness is there, the breath arrives, and then you are, in a sense, already doing the mindfulness of breathing. And then you just carry on from there, treating the breath as a friend, not controlling it, allowing your friend to come and go as he or she wishes, and gradually allowing the thing to unfold in whatever way it wants to unfold. You're not in charge, you're a passenger. Okay, so coming close to the end once again. Before we come to the end, just take a few moments just to reflect on the meditation today. And if you feel more peaceful, at ease, or calm, or whatever, try to understand the causes behind that, why it is that we feel in this way. Okay, any questions from anyone, please? Okay, thank you. Okay, so let us take a couple of questions from outside of the center. The first one is from Indonesia. And the question is, kindly give a deeper insight how sila really influences the success in meditation. How do we make sure that we will be reborn in the Buddhist path? Okay, that's two questions in one, but that's okay. So why is sila so important in meditation practice? And sila, of course, is morality. Yeah, it is the kindness in our life. It is the metta, the loving kindness we have, the compassion, and all of these good qualities. Why are they so significant? And the reason is because they make you feel good about yourself. They give you a sense of self-worth, a sense of self-esteem. You feel glad about how you live. So when you sit down, you close your eyes, you already have a good feeling with you. And one of the kind of classical meditations in Buddhism is the recollection of your sila, of your morality, of your life well lived. And when you reflect on that in the right way, it gives rise to a sense of feeling good about yourself. When you feel good about yourself, just as I was explaining at the beginning, when you do a bit of metta, when you have a sense of gratitude, when you reflect on the Buddha, whatever it might be, all of these things, that we do them so that we feel more joy in the present. And sila is a very fundamental part of that. It brightens the mind up. If you don't live in a good way, if you have a lot of anger or ill will, or even you bring that ill will out into your actions and speech, you're not going to feel good about yourself. Your mind is not going to be bright. Your mind is going to be dull. The mind is going to be slightly dark. And so sila is absolutely fundamental for the meditation to work. The Buddha says there's two things that meditation relies on. It relies on sila and right view. Right view and sila. Right view is what guides you in the right direction. Sila is what supports the meditation. How do we make sure that we will be reborn on the Buddhist path? All right, so basically you have to practice as much as you can in this life. Take the path as far as you can. Make sure you understand the Buddha's teachings, not just from a variety of teachers, but from the word of the Buddha himself. Because if you understand the authentic word of the Buddha, then when you get reborn, and then you look, you go to a place, you will recognize the word of the Buddha wherever you are reborn. Yeah, you will know there's something familiar with this. You may not know why, you may not understand exactly why, because you probably don't remember your past life, but there will be something deep inside of you that will recognize those teachings. This is actually mentioned in the suttas specifically. So do the best, practice as far as you can, get a good grasp of these teachings, and then the chances are that when you, wherever you will be reborn, when you come across the Buddhist teachings, you will recognize them. Question from Germany. Why do we have to use words with negative taste like impermanence and death and not substitute them with more positive words like transformation and growth instead? We should use both. We should use both things, not one or the other. Buddhism is a path whereby you are both pulled. It's a pull and push thing. You are pulled along by the positive things. The positive things are something which draws you towards something. The negative things push you in the right direction. The point of Buddhism is to see things according to reality. The point of Buddhism is to be realistic about what life is about. That realism allows you to make good decisions. If you're not realistic, you will always make bad decisions. The fact that you're going to die, the fact that things are impermanent, help you to make good decisions. They show you that there is something in life that is very important to understand, that will drive you onto the spiritual path and away from pursuits that are meaningless and pointless. This is why these things are important. Death contemplation is fundamental to the Buddhist practice. The Buddha recommended that everyone should do it. It's found everywhere in the suttas because it guides you in the right way. It tells you what really matters in life. It changes your priorities towards those things that actually are important. Okay, everyone, that's it for today. So let's just pay respect to the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha.